I know you did. Let's agree together in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity. Come before you. We present ourselves before you for this part of the word, asking for utterance, asking for the anointing, asking for eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that receive. We believe we receive it. Answers, direction, a supply of the Spirit, anointing. We ask for it, we believe we receive it, and we purpose not to be just hearers only, but to put it into practice. And as surely as we act on what you say, miracles happen. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. In 1 Timothy, 6th chapter, 12th verse, very familiar verse of Scripture. 1 Timothy 6, 12. Anybody got it marked? Huh? What does it say? Fight the good fight of faith. Next phrase says, lay hold, which is insight into how you fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you've also are also called and have professed a good profession. Now the profession here is a King James word for confession. So laying hold is a part of fighting the good fight, and confession is a part of fighting the good fight. Can you see it right here in the same verse? In my part, I believe I should speak about this, fighting the good fight, and the how-to, practical application of how to fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Corinthians, go there please. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Here he refers to the spirit of faith. The Bible also talks about that we've not been given the spirit of fear. Amen. Now, spirit of faith is not knowledge of faith. And spirit of fear is not just feelings of fear. Everybody say spirit of faith. Faith is not knowledge. And faith is not understanding. Y'all with me, friends? Yes. We'll touch on this later, I believe, but understanding is not required for faith. You don't have to understand in order to believe or trust. Some of the same Greek words are translated trust, also translated believe. Understanding is not a prerequisite for faith. Faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. Believing is a choice. Trusting is a choice. You ever heard somebody say, I just can't believe that? I'm sorry, but I cannot believe that. That's not true. That is an untrue statement. I don't care who said it or about what. Because faith is not based on any kind of understanding or any kind of knowledge. It's a choice. So when somebody says, I can't believe that, what they should have said is, I choose not to believe it, because you could believe it if you would choose to. Seeing as how faith does not require understanding. Brother Hagin Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, he said as a little boy, he could not figure out, didn't understand how a brown cow could eat green grass and give white milk, and then churn it and make yellow butter. He could not understand that. It's still a mystery. And yet, all the while he's trying to figure it out, he's enjoying milk. He's enjoying butter. He's enjoying ice cream. Come on, are you with me? You don't have to understand in order to believe. You don't have to understand to enjoy. I said you don't have to understand to experience and to enjoy. Now, this is very important because the enemy will tell you you can't have it till you understand it. You can't get it till you figure it out. You can't go to the next level till you have enough understanding, enough knowledge. Faith is not knowledge. Faith is not understanding. Anybody remember Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord. With what? All your heart. Help me out. Lean not to your own understanding. So faith and understanding are not the same thing. Here he's drawing a contrast. What part of your being do you trust with? Not your head. Not your head. In fact, Brother Hagin used to say this too. He said, faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. See, the enemy will tell you that if any kind of thought of doubt crossed your mind, you're wavering. And that's when he'll quote scriptures to you. He'll say, oh, if you waver, don't think you're going to get anything. Just because a feeling or a thought crossed your mind does not mean you changed your decision to believe in your heart. No. I don't care if thoughts and feelings contrary to faith and contrary to the word have been sitting on you for the last 30 minutes. When you realize it, you just grab it and say, no, no, no. That's not what I believe. This is what I believe. You grab it, you throw it down, and you're good. I said, you're good. You have not cast away your confidence. You have not decided not to believe. This is wonderful. Faith will work in your heart, even with some other stuff going on in your head and feelings. Now, you can't let it stay. I said, you can't let it stay or it will affect your heart. Trust in the Lord. With what? With the heart, Romans says, with the heart man believes. Not your head. Not your intellect. With the heart man believes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and what? Lean not to your... Why would he say, don't lean to your understanding? Why would he say that? Because you're going to be tempted to. And he's telling you up front. Don't lean to your own understanding. Your own head, your own reasonings, thoughts, feelings. If the enemy can get you in the reasoning realm, he'll defeat you. But if you'll keep him in the faith realm, he can't do anything with you. No matter how many thoughts he brings to you, no matter how many feelings, you won't yield to that. You will push that aside and go, no, I've decided what I believe. And you're settled in your heart. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Is this all right today? 2 Corinthians 4, we having the same spirit of faith. He said this flowing from the previous 4 or 5 verses. Back up in verse 8, describes the spirit of faith. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Keep reading with me. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's down to verse 9. And in verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith. He describes the spirit of faith in verses 8 and 9. Walking by faith does not mean you won't have any challenges. We live in a cursed world. This earth is cursed. We're still experiencing the curse from it. The planet is actually dying, just like your body is. It's groaning and travailing. That's why the weather is like it is. That's why things are like it is. Now the Lord will spare us and sustain us as long as we need it, but it's on its way. It can't be fixed, actually. It's going to take new heavens and a new earth. But the Lord's got it covered. Don't bother your little head about it. But I'm just saying, where we live is a dark, cursed place. I mean, it still retains much of the glory from God's original creation, but this is all we've ever known. As soon as we get out of here, we're going to be amazed to realize how oppressed this place is, how dark it is. But this is all we've ever known. I think that's one reason we don't have a whole lot of information about heaven. It'd just make us want to go. That's all it would do. We'd just like, Lord, can we leave today? Can we go now? And we got a job to do. I said, we got a job to do? I mean, if you live your full 120, it's going to come and go so quickly. So quickly. So quickly. So we need to focus on, get our job done. Then we're blowing this popsicle stand. We're out of here. But you're going to have challenges. And you have an adversary that's arrayed against you. He is always looking how he can get to you and cause you a problem. I know that's not fun to think about, but it's reality. And the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, be on your watch, because you got an adversary. Oh, but greater is he that's in you and me than he that's in the world. And so you can see that in the spirit of faith description. He says, we are troubled on every side. That word troubled means to be crowded, pushed, pressed. You ever felt like something was pushing you? Something was pressuring you? Paul said he was. On every side. Now some folks that don't understand faith would have written back to Paul and said, now Paul, don't confess that you're troubled. That's a bad confession. No, we learned about these things through him. Right? It's not a lack of faith to acknowledge something that you're dealing with. Faith is not calling those things that are as though they are not. I said faith is not calling the things that are as though they are not. I'm getting some funny looks across the crowd. Do we need to go look up the scripture? Tell me what faith is. Call the things that are not. Somebody said, well, what's the difference? Huge difference. Big difference. One of them's faith, the other one's not. We're talking about using our faith and releasing faith through our words to change something. And it's not going to help you if you're in pain to go around saying, I have no pain. I have no pain. Pain does not exist. It's just a state of mind. Oh. And I do mine. Whoa. It's just a state of mind. It's just a state of mind. No, no, it's real.
Yes, it is.
It's not just a state of mind. The physical is real. It's temporary, but it's real. And if you hurt, you hurt. And going around that and goes, I have no pain. I have no pain. I have no, I have no, ooh. I have no pain. Pain. I have no pain. I have no pain. I have no pain. No pain. No pain. Pain, you are not. Pain, you are not. Pain. What are you hearing about? Pain, pain. Pain, pain. Is that right? You got pain on the brain. And you are making no progress. What did Romans say? Abraham, faith, call those things that be not as though they were. If something's not like it's supposed to be, you want to call it into being. Like God said, light be. And it was. But when he said be, it wasn't till he said be, and then it is. And he called Abraham father of many nations when he wasn't. But when he calls you that, he became. Be. So you go instead of saying, I have no pain. Yeah, pain's there. Somebody say, you're in pain? Yeah. Yeah, I've been hurting some. But that's all you need to say about it. Do not camp there and talk on that. Now what do? We want it changed. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. He carried my pains. So I call my body healed. I call, somebody's getting healed right over here right now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Oh, oh, healing's running right up and down through here. Be restored. Be healed. Be made strong in the name of Jesus. Oh. Did y'all sense any of that? Did y'all sense? Woo. Wow-wee. I'll do that anytime, Lord. Anytime. We'll take more of that. Did you know this is a healing meeting? I mean, I'm talking about the whole week. This is a real healing meeting. If you got some kind of little chronic thing or problem that you want to hold on to, you're in the wrong place. Your disease is in danger in this place. It's in danger. Your infirmity is at risk in this place, this week. Oh, boy. Woo. Glory to God. Come on, somebody say it out loud. Sickness can't stay. Weakness can't remain. I'm healed. In Jesus' name. It can't stay. It can't stay. Psalmist talked about the hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. I'm telling you, when the presence of the Lord comes up, demons run like roaches. Demons run. It's like turning the light on. Demons run like roaches at the presence of the Lord. Woo. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Healing right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord told us in our churches a few months ago, He said healing is going to be happening like popcorn popping. Anybody pop any popcorn? How you do it? I don't care if it's old fashioned in a pan on the stove or if it's in the microwave. What do? You put it on. You put the heat on. You got to put the heat to it. And when you first crank the heat up, nothing. Nothing. Is that right? You don't see anything. You don't hear anything. But under the tinfoil or whatever, inside the bag, something's going on. It's going on that you can't see, that you don't hear. But after a while, won't be very long, you'll hear pop. That's encouraging. Right? That first pop is encouraging. Because you know. Why? Because you know there's more to come. You know there's more to come. It was a pop right over there. We had a pop right over there. Pop. Ooh, the Lord is here this morning. The Lord, the Holy Spirit is here. So you hear pop? Come on, then what? Pop, pop. And now what do you know? You know things are going to start happening faster. More things are going to happen faster. Rapid succession and multiple things. That's what the Lord told us. He said people are going to be healed like popcorn popping. It'll be a healing. Healing. Healing, healing, healing. Huh? Healing, 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 healing. It's the Lord's will. It is His will. Is He able to perform His will? Yes, He is. In the lives of those who believe. And it is when one miracle happens, one healing happens, the next ones can happen easier. Because when people are seeing and hearing, it's harder to doubt. When these two people got healed on this side of you, and these three on here got healed, it's harder to sit there and go, nah, I don't believe in healing. And these guys saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed too. Nah. Glory to God. Come on, say it out loud. Like popcorn popping. Healings everywhere. You believe that's the word of the Lord? He'll talk to you in language you understand. Glory to God. Well, our part is faith. Faith and cooperation. Let's read some more of this. 2 Corinthians 8:4-8. Spirit of faith. We're troubled on every side. Pressed, pushed, yet what? Yet what? This is the spirit of faith. This is describing how faith responds. How faith acts, how faith reacts. You're not going to go through this world in life and never be pushed. And never be pressured. And never be scrunched or crunched or crowded. Something's going to push on you. And you can't control everything that tries to push on you. I know maybe you'd like to think you can, but you can't. Because you can't control everything that happens in this world around you. You can't control everything that people do or don't do. So you're not going to be in control either with your authority in Jesus' name or with your faith. You're not going to be in control of all of this. Because you would be controlling people's will and decisions. And the Lord doesn't do that himself. And you can't. And you got to recognize when that's the case. What you are in complete control of is your response to it. Your response to it. And isn't that what he's saying? He's saying we've been troubled on every side. We've been pressed and pushed. Yet, with all the pushing and pressing, what? Come on, help me out. Not distressed. That word means not in anguish. Somebody say not distressed.
Not distressed.
Is it possible to not be distressed even in the midst of stuff pushing on you and pressure? Is it possible?
Yes.
Is it easy?
No.
No. This is where the fight of faith comes in. What do you fight? I know we're going to look at this later, I believe. Maybe even later in the week. But when I was teaching at Brother Hagin's ministry in the healing school that he has there, we'd teach on faith and healing every day. Faith and healing for years. And so one day I'd be on fighting a good fight of faith and resisting the enemy. And maybe in a couple of weeks, I'd be over in Hebrews on faith as a rest. We which have believed do enter into rest. Casting all your cares over on the Lord. That kind of thing. And after a while I realized, well, it sounds like I'm contradicting myself. This week I'm fighting. And a couple of weeks later I'm resting. What am I supposed to be doing? What are we doing today? Are we fighting? Or are we resting? Because it doesn't seem to be in agreement. What is it? The Bible said in Hebrews, labor to enter in to the rest. That's where the fight comes, is getting in and staying in the rest. The enemy will try to keep you out of it. And once you get in it, he'll do everything he can to get you out. Out of rest. Out of peace, out of trust, out of faith. But we which have believed enter into that. Got it. Somebody say, got it. Got what? The Lord's heard our prayer. Seeds in the ground. Work's done. Faith is released. But that's not the end of it. Because at that point, you don't see it. You don't feel it. And in the natural, you need it. Need the money. Still hurt. Still uncomfortable. And this is where the fight comes in. Can you be pushed? Can you be pressed and not be upset? Not be distressed. Come on, are you with me? Keep reading. This is the spirit of faith. We are perplexed. That word means to be at a loss. To be at a loss. When I hear this word perplexed, I think of a cartoon caption with a figure with a bubble, you know, where the thoughts are, and just a great big question mark. That's perplexed. You're like, huh? What? How did this happen? What's going on? Where did this come from? What's going on? Have you ever been there? Oh, come on. More than five people have been there. Perplexed. What does perplexed mean? You got that dumb look on your face like, huh? Somebody just told you, you got this problem in your church or in your family or in your business. You go, huh? What? Where'd that come from? When did this happen? Huh? Huh? Keep reading. Perplexed, but.
Amen.
But what? Not in despair. Can you be perplexed and clueless and still be up instead of down? If you're in faith, you are. Now, as getting into this, you can begin to see there's a lot of ignorance about faith amongst faith people. I mean, there's a lot of ignorance and confusion about real faith. Paul talked to Timothy about unfeigned faith. Unfeigned means not pretend. Why would you say faith that is not pretend? Because there is a phony faith. There is real faith that gets real results. And then there is that which those who don't know the difference think is faith, looks like faith to them, sounds like faith to them, but it is not. It is not faith, which explains why it doesn't work and why results are not forthcoming. And one of the indicators of a false faith is lack of joy and lack of peace. Romans 15 talks about this. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. If you're in believing, you have joy and you have peace. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's how you keep going. But if you lose your joy and you lose your peace, I don't care that you're making good confessions. You are not in faith. You're not in faith. And a whole lot of people are at the case where they're like, I did this, but it didn't work. I've been standing, but it's not working. I don't have to know anything else about the situation to know they're not in faith. Faith doesn't talk that way. Are y'all with me? But why? Why didn't such and such? And why isn't such and such? That's being perplexed and despairing. Come on, can you see? And what does faith do? Perplexed, but not in despair. You can be clueless and happy. It's possible. Is that right? But I just don't understand. You ever seen somebody get their forehead all furrowed and their eyebrows all bunched up and go, I just don't understand. Why is this happening to me? I'm a faith man. You don't sound like it. Faith people don't whine like this. And what they would never say is, why isn't it working? reveals you believe it's not working. You are walking. And why don't you believe it's working? Because of what you see and feel. Or don't see and feel. You're walking by sight, not by faith. Faith is up. Huh? Yeah, anybody can be up when the money's in your hand. When the money's in your account, anybody can be up when the symptoms are gone and you feel great. I mean, Joe Center down the street can be up. Takes no faith. Oh, but when you're hurting, but you rejoice because you're healed. That's real faith. When you got bills piled up on the table and you have no clue where the money might come from, but you are not staying at home feeling sorry for yourself. You're not crying and carrying on. And you're not trying to counsel with everybody going, why isn't it working? Because you're not in faith. Yeah, but I believe. You're not believing. Yeah, but I've been to conventions and I got 3 closets full of tapes and books. Yeah. And you're not acting on any of them. No. Faith, real faith, has real joy and real peace in the midst of contradictions and symptoms and lack. Come on, are you with me? That's what real faith is. If people can come into the room or come in where you work or see you, and after 5 minutes, know that something's wrong.
Come on.
You're probably not in faith. If they're around you for 3 minutes and they go, what's wrong, dear? Well, everything's, we're believing God. We're believing. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're falling apart. You are distressed. Is that right? You're distressed. Faith is not distressed. You're despairing and despondent. Faith is not. You cannot afford to wallow around in your feelings. All of us got them. Any of us can become a basket case in the next 15 minutes. Any one of us. All you got to do is forget about what the Lord said and His power and His faithfulness and focus on how you feel and what everybody says and how it looks and watch about 8 hours of news. And you'll be sitting there. No joy, no peace, no faith. And that's a big problem because that's how God interacts with us. That's how He moves in the earth, is in response to our faith. No faith, no healings. No faith, no bills paid. No faith, no wisdom, no direction, no protection. Come on, are you with me?
Yes.
No. I know your grandmother. Maybe you're acting pitiful moved her. I just don't feel good, Grandma. So she swoops in, oh, baby, and makes you your chicken noodle soup and whatever it is. And that's not the Lord. He is touched with the feelings of your weaknesses, but that will not cause Him to manifest His power.
That's right. That's right.
If God was moved by needs and people acting pitiful, miracles would be popping all over the planet. Is that right? He's able to respond to faith. 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 is the victory that overcomes the whole world. The spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. Faith will never acknowledge that it's whipped. Faith will never acknowledge that God's word didn't work. It will you can't make it say it. Faith will never concede defeat. Never. 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 Back years ago, I did some sport fighting as a teenager and a young man. And so the Lord talks to me in pictures, I understand. And when I hear this, you're more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. You're an overcomer. And I know how these things work. I see a guy in the ring, down and on the mat, tangled up in the ropes. Big guy pummeling him in the head. Blood running out of his eyes and his nose. And I see him saying, "I'm winning." Talking about the guy on the ground. "I'm winning. I'm winning. In fact, in Christ I've already won." This is faith. This kind of man, this kind of woman will not stay on the ropes. Will not stay on the mat. But when you begin to heave and cry and "I don't know why and I just don't understand," you don't have to understand. "Well, I just don't understand." Yeah, join the club. There's a whole lot that all of us don't understand. But that doesn't mean I can't trust God with all my heart. And whatever's going on with my understanding and feelings, I'm not leaning on that. I'm not relying on that. I'm not depending on that. In fact, if it counters what God said, I'm grabbing it and I'm throwing it down. We need to have some slap downs. Slap downs. Slap it down. No, I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about... No, no, no. I'm talking about thoughts. Thoughts that often are accompanied with feelings. That's how the enemy tempts you. He brings thoughts, reasonings, feelings. "Well, why hasn't it already happened? Where's the money? Why does it keep going so long? Why? Why are you still dealing with this physical thing? Why? 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 How come? You just don't understand. You don't understand. You need to say, "What'd you say? What'd you say?" Slap it down. What if Adam and Eve, when the enemy got up in their face and they said, "Yeah, God said, don't eat of the fruit, you'll die." And he said, "No, you know, you won't really die." What if they said, "What? What did you say? You're calling God a liar? What did you..." Slap it down. You may not have your money to pay your bills this month. You may not have your... Help me out. What? What'd you say? What'd you say? Slap down. Didn't the Bible say casting down imaginations? Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He said, "I'm healed." He said, "My needs are met." Right? He said, "My steps are ordered." He keeps me. He protects me with long life. He will satisfy me. That's why anything that gets mouthy with you, gets attitude with you, no, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. You just don't understand. Why? But how come? What about what happened to so-and-so? What about what happened to them? Huh? Oh, yeah, they're faith people. Probably more faith than you. You don't know that. You don't know that. You know what you saw and heard. You don't know their heart. No, no, no. You don't know that. Besides that, you're not supposed to compare yourself with other people. What the Lord tell Peter when he asked about John? He said, what is that to you? Is that what is that to you about what's going to happen with John? You follow me. I know it can be tempting, and the enemy tries to do this all the time. Something didn't turn out well with somebody else, somebody you know, maybe somebody you love. And he'll say, well, they're a better Christian than you. You don't know that. They had more faith in you. You don't know that, including ministers. You don't know what happened in that situation. I assure you, you don't. You just don't know. But what's that got to do with you trusting your God? Faith is personal between you and Him. Is that right? It's not based on what these people do or don't do. My faith, say it out loud, my faith is in my God. Hallelujah. Tell Him, say, Lord, I trust You. I trust You. I trust You. I refuse to be moved. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Go with me over to the book of Psalms. Psalm 5. It is such a privilege for me to have a part in this great conference. And I thank you for being here for this part. You didn't have to stay. You could have. You said, who's coming up next? Oh, I'm going. You could have done that. But you're here. Thank you. And thank you for your faith. It makes preaching and teaching so much easier. I've been to a few places where you look over the crowd and they're like this. And without saying it, you can almost hear they're going, yeah, we've heard the best. Now, what can you do? And even a few minutes through it, they're like, I'm not impressed. Now, they're waiting for you to, you know, do something, pull a rabbit out of a hat, but. It makes it so much easier when people are pulling for you. Hallelujah. When they're with you. And even if you make a mistake, they go, I know what you meant. I know. Go on. it helps. It's also sowing good seed for whenever you need to do something. People won't judge you so harshly and it's sowing a good seed. Psalm 5. Verse 11, let all those that put their trust in you do what? If you're trusting, believing, you're rejoicing. I noticed something yesterday that I hadn't, actually last night, that I hadn't seen as clearly. In the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms, almost every psalm, 95% of them, are talking about trust and praise. Trust and praise, or trust and thanksgiving. But look it up for yourself. Get in your concordance, see what I'm talking about. You'll be amazed. It's like your Psalm 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10. I mean, almost every psalm has got that idea in it of trust and praise. Why? Because if you're trusting, you're praising. And if you're praising, what are you praising about? Right? What are you praising about? You trust Him. And that's an expression of joy. I know the Lord said this to me one time. I studied on the subject of praise and I realized it's an offering that He receives, that we can give the giver something that He enjoys And it's a wonderful thing. And as I was seeing it and recognizing it, the Lord spoke to me. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but inside he said, now, Keith, if you're not enjoying it, don't assume I'm getting a lot out of it. Talking about praise. If you're not enjoying it, what if somebody came to you and went, you're great. You're great. You're super. Praise you. Praise you. You're super. You'd be like, just quit. Just. If you're not enjoying it, don't assume he's getting much out of it. But if you are genuinely praising him, what are you praising him about? You must believe something good. You must be expecting something good. Hallelujah! You must be unmoved by whatever you feel or see. Contrary to it, one of the easiest ways to get in faith, rest, and stay in faith, trust, rest, is to thank God and praise God genuinely all the time. Let His praise continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. You can't cry and feel sorry for yourself. Why are you praising the Lord? For all. Oh, come on. Somebody needs to get stirred up right now. Let's praise God for all of our bills being paid. All of our bills. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for abundant provision. Thank you for more than enough. Thank you for more than enough. Praise you. Thank you. Thank you for more than enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for abundance. Abundance. Every bill paid, every need met, every project finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory be to your holy name. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. You don't do this if you believe it's not working. You don't do this if you believe it's no use. You're not going to say it's not working. It is working. It has worked. It is working. Right? Nobody can get you to say. Well, what if? We don't do by what ifs. We don't live by what ifs. What if? What if it doesn't work? What if? That's yielding to perplexion. Being perplexed, it's yielding to distress. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to have all the answers. You just trust. Let me get ahead of myself just a little bit, and I think we can come back to it. But the Lord gave me this example. The Bible said, all things are upheld by the word of His power. Is that right? All things. That means all of creation. How much are you in faith about that? How much are you in faith about that? How many, you can be seated, how many wavered some last night as to where the gravity would be okay today? Huh? are the orbits of the planets in our solar system. How many of you feel like you are really maxed out on your faith, believing that those orbits are going to be okay? Are you really using your faith that you'll keep breathing all day? Why am I talking about that? Because in those areas, you and I are genuinely resting. I'm not even entertaining any thoughts. It's not bothering me at all that gravity might not keep working throughout the week for our meeting. What does that mean? I am in total faith about that. I'm completely resting that it's working. It's going to keep working. Right? And for the rest of our week, the sun's going to keep shining. And the atmosphere is going to remain functional. Plenty of oxygen on the planet. I'm not losing sleep over this. I'm not pacing the floor. I'm not struggling with it. Why? Because I believe that. I'm confident in it. Oh, come on, can you see that? When you're fully persuaded, you're completely at rest. When you're partially persuaded, you're some uneasy. And what folks have not realized, they've tolerated this and go day after day, frustrated, a little upset. Maybe not enough that everybody really notices it, but I know some years ago I was believing for a specific thing. And I was in the car. I remember distinctly I was going somewhere, got in the car. I went to the, I was getting on the interstate. And I've always liked a good, powerful car, and I had one. And when I got on the on-ramp, I let her rip. And I was accelerating quite briskly. And yet I... On my mind was this thing I've been believing for a year and a half now, and it seems like I'm further from it than I was when I started. And I'm thinking, what is the deal? I'm not saying anything. I'm in the car by myself. But these thoughts are coming around. You know, what's the deal? Did you see that cartoon just then? Furrowed brow, eyebrows bunched up, that clueless look. And the Spirit of God said this to me. I wasn't expecting it. Right as I'm hitting the interstate, he said, Keith, frustration is not faith. Frustration is not faith. Tell your neighbor, help them out. Frustration is not faith. You ever been frustrated? Now we're getting into it. You ever been frustrated? So how were you doing while you were frustrated? You're not doing good.
No, that's right.
The more troubled you are, the more you're entertaining the wrong things. And the more you're wavering. The more you're doubting. Upset is another word for fear. The more upset you are, what are you upset about? You're in fear. Whether it's mild dread or full-blown panic, it's the same spirit, just different degrees. There's a spirit of fear, but there's a spirit of faith. Hallelujah. And there's a little persuaded. Partially persuaded. Getting there, persuaded? Sleeping better, persuaded? And then there is. Father of faith. Abraham. Change the world. Fully. Fully. Persuaded. Fully persuaded is completely at rest. Oh, that was worth you combing your hair and coming out. Is that right? Fully persuaded is completely at rest, just like you are about gravity. Just like you are about breathing oxygen out of the atmosphere. Just like you are about the Lord upholding everything by the word of His power and the orbits of the planets and our star continuing to burn. You don't feel like you are actively, come on, gravity. Gravity. Don't let me down now. Gravity. Now, I know I'm being animated, but why? Because people have the idea that when I'm really in faith, it's when I'm really bearing down on it. And that's actually when you're not doing well in faith. You're not doing well. What are you struggling about? Why? Are you struggling over His word being true? Are you struggling over His faithfulness? What's the struggle? The good fight of faith is the fight, the struggle, to enter into and then stay in the rest. Gravity's working, and God's working in my life. The planets are in their orbits, and God's plan for my life is on track. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! The hills are being clothed beautifully, and I'm going to dress good. The birds are eating globally. Blackbirds, redbirds, bluebirds. Is that right? Eating. Somebody said they're all eating. They're all eating? So what about, are you in faith that the blackbirds are going to eat today? Redbirds? Are you struggling with that? Come on, come on. I want all the little birds to eat today. Eat. Am I supposed to be done? Let me give you this testimony, and then we'll be done for now. When I grew up Pentecostal. Amen. Actually, I had Baptist, Church of God, and Pentecostal influences. I got a good, and married a Catholic girl. So. But my grandmother and a group of people from different backgrounds and races, actually, way back in the, this would have been, the 30s? Got filled with the Spirit. Bunch of folks. Native Americans, black folks, white folks. Very unusual in the South. Back in those days. They got filled with the Holy Ghost out in the woods. And got baptized in a pond. Well, she's a Holy Ghost woman. And I knew it was real. And I wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost too. I didn't understand it as a little boy, but by the time I'm in my early mid-teens, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. But didn't know how to receive. We were just taught to tarry. Men come up on one side, women come up on the other side. And we'd sing and holler and we had some stuff going on. Literally, we had to take a brother to the hospital one night because he was literally climbing the wall and got a splinter in his back. We had movement. And I came and I tarried And I tarried and I tarried and I tarried. Sometimes I start tarrying at 9:30, 1 in the morning, I'm still tarrying. I did what I knew. And then somebody, they say, if you shave that mustache off, God, fill you with the Holy Ghost. So it went. I'm still not filled. If you'll do this, if you'll do that, tried all kind of things. And I'm not knocking anybody. That's all we knew. But for years, I'm struggling, but see, not in faith. Trying to make it happen. Well, praise God. Thank God. Eventually, I got a hold of Brother Kenneth Hagin's book on was it 7 steps to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I went through them. And on the 7th one, I spoke in tongues a little bit. And I thought, nah, that can't be it. Because when Sister So-and-so was filled, she had a vision. And Brother So-and-so, he rolled up under the pew and sang a song, you know. And I don't feel much. Pentecostal. Yeah. Big on feelings. But anyway, I went back to the Word. Thank God for the Word and Brother Hagin's ministry. And I began to pray by faith. I just prayed in the Spirit by faith. And oh man, the more I did, the more in the flow I got. And I thought, okay, yeah, this is it. And so years later now in ministry, because of that, when I'd pray for people to be filled with the Spirit, it was a bit challenging to me because I struggled with it so much. Yep. Took me years. Wasn't God's fault, but I struggled for years. So, man, when people came up to be filled with the Spirit, I almost dreaded it. I'm like, okay, we're going to get this done. So, man, I'm trying to get them filled. And we, you know, because I tarried and tarried and didn't and didn't and didn't and didn't. It was something in my thinking. And I remember one day I was about to do that again. There was like, I don't know, a dozen people in the front. And I said, okay. All right. I didn't say it out loud, but I'm thinking we're going to have to work on this. And I started. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, back up, back up, back up. He said, don't touch them. Don't touch them. Don't even touch them. Because I'm ready to. Something to make us sing. Help me out. Fully persuaded is what? Completely. At rest. Come on, say that loud. Fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded.
Completely at rest.
Completely at rest.
Am I completely at rest in ministering to these folks?
No.
I'm apprehensive. A little frustrated. All that's unbelief. All that's lack of faith. And the Lord said, no, step back. Step back. Don't touch them. He said, Keith, you are not the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. You are not. You are not. So none of my gyrations and motions is helping. You know, a lot of times the Lord's doing things in spite of what we're doing. Not because of what we're doing. He knows our heart. He knew my heart. I wasn't trying to be that way. I was just thinking wrong. He said, you say it out in faith. You say, be filled. And then you step and get out of my way. You back up and get out of my way. And you know what? You know what thought went through my head? Come on, help me out. Nothing's going to happen. Right? Nothing's going to happen. I'm going to say, be filled, and they're going to all stand there and look at me. Now, what is that? Help me out. What is that? Gross unbelief. That's just unbelief. But, remember we started off, faith will work in your heart. Even with a thought of doubt. And that's where I was. So, what's faith? It's a decision. I have to decide, am I going to believe what he said and believe it enough to do it? Thank God by his grace, I said, Yes, sir. I said, everybody close your eyes. I didn't want them looking at me. The Lord said, don't touch him. Okay, I'm not going to touch him. Don't touch him. In Jesus' name, be filled. That's what he said. He said, say it and get out of the way. And I mean, immediately, talking in tongues, 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 talking in tongues. I was almost flabbergasted. I thought, huh? Completely, excuse me, fully persuaded. What? Completely. The more I'm trying to make it happen, the less faith I'm in. Can you see that? Oh, stand on your feet, everybody. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's lift up our hands. Let's give praise to the Lord. Thanks to the Master. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we give you glory.
Thank you, Lord.